23 minutes to 10 o'clock, and it is time for our self-esteem engineer, Bev Malun, to look at your birth dates, to add, subtract, multiply, and divide, get to the magic number. And, you know, we can make light of that, but what she does is it's all serious, and it's incredibly, incredibly insightful. And I'm sure that if you have sent your numbers through in the past and Bev has looked at your numbers, that you have benefited greatly from that whole process. So thank you for all of the SMSs that have come through. I also do encourage you to call in on 0861 24 24 36 because we will take your calls if you phone through. Good morning, Bev.
Good morning, Nikki.
How are you, darling?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, very good. And I saw Excellent. You with a very thick coat. Is it a little chilly out there?
You haven't been allowed out this week?
I've just been watching through glass doors.
Okay, well, the storm came, the cold came. You know, we've had everything. We've had snow, we've had sunshine.
All in like 3 weeks.
Warm winds, cold winds, yes. It's a little bit like living in Never Never Land.
Bit of up and down. Yes. But anyway, we're here and it's Friday.
Here we are.
And it is wonderful. And people have sent through those samosas. So I am going to start giving you, I've got a hi, yes. Nikki and Bev. Hi. I have a male by the name of Des, who was born on the 26th of the 12th, 1961. The day after Christmas. 26th of the 12th, 1961.
Okay. And does this male name Des say anything else?
Nothing. Nothing else.
Nothing else. All right. Male name Des. The very nurturing, caring, dramatic, storytelling male name Des. That's what we have.
Okay.
Yeah, we have it. Solid, reliable, dependable, powerful, structured, loves to take direction, doesn't like to take it from others, likes to take it himself, so very much so, and has a very defined idea of how things should be, but it's on his own definition, on his own terms. So that's fantastic if you want to run the world, but it doesn't work that well when you want to run a relationship, because relationships don't get run. You run alongside, so you have to learn to run with. And I think the most beautiful example of that is these Paralympics. Have you been watching them at all?
Just amazing.
I just
really
such
overwhelming.
An opportunity to reflect on gratitude and just go, oh my goodness, I have two arms, I have two legs, I have a mind that works most of the time. And look at this. Look at these people who look at their world, and instead of saying, oh, woe is me, and maybe they went through that, but their final decision was, what am I left with? Right, what can I do with this?
How do I get on with it?
And it's so remarkable. I was watching the one thing, and I have to admit that I sit there and I watch when I have time, and I look and I go, okay, but what is wrong with these people? What is wrong? These people look absolutely
some of them look 100%
able-bodied,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And so I've gone into the Paralympic classification. And I've wanted to understand, because it's just even more inspiring for me to see that. Now, the one time I was watching this, and I thought, what a metaphor for life. And I think for our male name, Des, and everyone else, it's a very pertinent metaphor. Is there was a race for women. And it just so happened that when they introduce them, you know, they introduce each person. They show the face and they hone in on the person. They're obviously speaking about them. And then the person gets an opportunity to smile and wave and blow a kiss at the camera and whatever. And they went through all these eight women running in this final. And I thought, okay, I don't get it. Is this the cerebral palsied group? Is this, what is this? These women are perfect, well-defined, strong, good-looking, powerful, empowered women. Outpans the camera, missing the bottom of arms on, you know, blades. One missing two legs, one missing one wing. And I just looked at this and I thought, how much goes on where the camera can't see? How much of a show do we put on for the world where we think the camera's watching, and where the camera's not watching, we forget to take care of that. We forget about that part, and it often comes as a surprise to others. So, for example, I'll show you how I translated it for myself into a metaphor in life. It's, I've said a number of times on this show and in talks and wherever, the walls of your home should be transparent. Not because what goes on behind closed doors shouldn't be intimate and private, but because your behavior as a human being should be only augmented in a more beautiful way behind closed doors, but that's the only thing that should change. When the walls of your home are stripped away, do people see a completely different side to you that you'd never dare show in public because it's so inappropriate? Or do they see the same person augmented in the generosity of spirit, in decency, in politeness?
So you're talking about being authentic?
I'm saying...
And not putting on a facade.
That's right. Mm. So with these women, I looked at this and I thought, it is my perception of these women that they are able-bodied. And it's not like they're not. They are much more able-bodied than I am with their blades, without an arm. They are far more physically capable than I am. That's the truth. And for many people, that would be true. They do more to take care of their bodies, perhaps, than most people do. And they certainly use what they have to its fullest potential, which is more than what most people with wiggling toes and wiggling fingers do. So it's very interesting, the comparison, is that these people are not lacking. When we are touched by something, it's because we are moved by their courage to do so much with what they have. And when we reflect and it mirrors back on us, we don't necessarily see the same thing.
Mm.
And so we know there's such a gap between where we could be and where we are. But it takes effort and courage, persistence, consistency and perseverance to get there. And so it's decisions. It's all about decisions. And so when I look at these women, I think how beautiful that they have that opportunity not to be seen as Paralympians, but to be seen as women in their power, so beautifully put together. And when the pans out, yes, we see where they are not completely able-bodied. But in comparison to that, how many people live relying on the fact that the perception of them as being super, wonderful, polite, accomplished, nice to get along with, and etc., is what they rely on in the world. But if the camera panned out and saw the whole picture, it wouldn't necessarily be as pretty. Right? So one has to be careful, because if you're living relying on the fact that there's a perception in the world of you that you portray with this beautiful stage act, but behind closed doors, you're not nearly as pleasant to be around. It will catch up with you. There's no question in my mind it will catch up with you, because we're here to do the work. And what is so wonderfully inspiring about these people in the Paralympians is that they're doing the work. They are an example to planet Earth. They are an inspiration to at least the 2.1 million people who bought tickets to watch them. They are at least an inspiration to all the people tuning in on the channels around the world to watch them. Millions, hundreds of millions of people. But they should be an inspiration to those who don't have DSTV. And they should be an inspiration, because you should know that out there in the world, those who have far less than you have are doing everything they can to maximize it. Why can't you? What's your decision not to?
So for Dez...
So for Dez, I know that in the world, Dez is a superpower. I know that he is a sensitive superpower who doesn't let people know how sensitive he is, who needs a lot of recognition, who needs to be respected, who needs a lot more from outside. As capable as he is and as powerful as he is, there's a huge amount of sensitivity and need. And I'm hoping that the congruence for Dez is that he has also learned how to articulate need and not want and preference. Because it is a very powerful person who can both be comfortable with their capacity to lead, direct, create, and make happen, as much as they are with their need, their sensitivity, and their vulnerability. It is a far more powerful person who is comfortable with both aspects of themselves, and they survive many storms, and they survive many challenges, and they come through it far better off than the person who goes through those things, who hides from their own vulnerabilities, who hides from their sensitivities, who hides from all of that, and is the super powerful thing. Well, I have to tell you, that whole beautiful theory of the reed blowing in a hurricane, it doesn't break. It bends over, but it doesn't break. And the bamboo that shoots straight up and is supposedly so strong breaks in a hurricane.
Mm.
It doesn't have that stability, that flexibility. And that's what I'm talking about for you, Des. It's the flexibility I'm looking for. Have you done the work on where you need to be flexible? Because certainly you are naturally inflexible. And that will have served you very well in your outright determination to succeed, to help, to reach out, to take care of. But underneath the flexibility, where you need to be gentle and not directive, have you done that work?
Mm. There we have it, Des. Lots of information coming your way. Let's look at a female. I don't have a name. She was born on the 3rd of the 9th, 1952. And she wants it. She said job related. So obviously around jobs, career. Let's take a break. We will be back. So the lady who sent it through, the 3rd of the 9th, 1952, we'll be looking at your numbers in a moment. 101.9 megahertz of power. Welcome back. Fabulous Friday it is. In Your Element, Nikki Seberini, and we have the wonderful self-esteem engineer Bev Malun looking at your numbers. So you've been SMSing them through. You can continue. Better still, phone us while Bev's in the studio. We'll take your call first. 0861 24 24 36. Okay, Bev. So just before the break, we looked at this lady who it's job related, and she was born on the 3rd of the 9th, 1952.
Right. So I suppose the question then is, what job should I be in? Or I suppose, but you know, it's not easy to do that kind of thing because Oracle I'm not. And there's so many different qualities of the person. Certainly, this is a great organizer. This is a person who loves to create systems, who loves to analyze things and come out with and sum up what the problems are and then find a solution.
Mm-hmm.
She likes structure. She likes, she gets distracted though, socially. That's part of her frustration in life, is that socially she gets distracted. It's like, oh, what's that? But I'm so on track. Oh, what's that?
Mm-hmm.
So there is that element which is hard to manage. You know, when you're very powerful in certain ways, then to have, and she is, she comes from a structured background, a directive, that go, go, go kind of thing. And she has this beautiful nurturing spirit, and her sensitivities and her distractibility is her challenges.
Mm.
All right, so what work could she do? I don't know, with that kind of personality, very many things, but certainly any environment in which she's going to place herself where she's not called on to be taking a lead role in organizing, systemizing, running with systems, etc., would be frustrating for her. And she has a very caring spirit. Like, she'd be amazing to have as a PA, because she would sell out to fixing up your world.
Mm-hmm.
She would. The only thing I'd worry about if I was going to hire her is, like, how distracted does she actually get, mm-hmm. and how much does she manage her sensitivities? Because that can hold us back in business, a fortune. People who are unbelievably skilled at something can be held back because they emotionally don't manage their world.
Mm-hmm.
And I see this all the time. It's, you know, in sport we call it BMT, big match temperament. Do you have the temperament to hold it together when things are not going well? Because it's not necessarily the best person who wins on the day. It is the person who holds it together the best with great skill.
Mm.
So we can have two players pitched against each other and we can say they are, sure, this is a Clash of the Titans, let's say in tennis. It's a Clash of the Titans match on the day. I mean, we just saw this recently with Murray and Federer at the Olympics. Mm. There was Murray in the final, and we were wondering, because at Wimbledon he lost to Federer and cried his eyes out and won the hearts of Britain, who didn't like him till he cried.
Mm.
So interesting. They want him to be their warrior and win Wimbledon. Then he cries. They go, okay, we're not so cross anymore. So, okay, make up your mind. Do you want him to be a warrior? Do you want him to be a sensitive warrior? I don't know. No one's ever too sure, but certainly those tears worked. He won the hearts of Britain. And so he went into the Olympics buoyed by this. And he didn't hold it together at Wimbledon through the game. He did his best. Never mind the crying. That was a beautiful show of humanity. But through the game, he didn't hold it together. And so Federer, in certain places, and so Federer took advantage of that. But they're pretty equally matched as players. At the Olympics, Federer's head was not in at that final.
Mm.
I don't know where he was, but you know, I remember my father like popped into the room and he said to me, you know, what's the story? Like, how's the game going? I said, I don't know. Murray's playing himself. He's alone on the court. Federer just wasn't there. So it's not like they weren't matched in skill and ability, but on the day, the mind wasn't in it. So I would wonder with this lady who is so capable and so able and so nurturing and so caring and so wanting to help and reach out and organize and take the lead and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. How does she manage her internal world? And how do those distractions and sensitivities and that social need, how does that get in the way of her achieving her full potential? So if someone was asking me to profile her, well, she's going to come work for me in my office or she's going to run this department, where do I say, that's fantastic. Make certain you set, and this is what I'm saying to you, lady with no name, make certain you set very clearly defined boundaries for yourself in which you can thrive, because she thrives with deadlines and boundaries. Make certain there's a discipline set out with a reward structure, because she thrives on reward. So this is the kind of things to do, and make certain that you do something in which you can use the skills you have, because that's how you'll get more and more buoyed by your productivity and your self-esteem will go up, because you can see you doing something successfully. Keep your head in it. Keep your head in the game. Things go wrong. Things do fall apart. How quickly can you get your head back to on track is really what defines people from staying in their drama and getting distracted by drama, no matter how big or small it is, and getting back on track when something happens.
Okay. Fantastic. Thanks, Bev. We have Milton on the line. Hi, good morning, Milton. Thanks for holding for us.
Hi, how are you doing?
Very good. Thanks, Milton. Here's Bev.
Yes,
hi, Milton.
I just wanted to check on my birthday, the 23rd of August, 1952.
What would you like me to look at specifically? Just 1952.
Yeah.
Okay. Just in general.
Just in general, yeah.
All right, great. You're going to listen on radio?
I'll listen on the radio. That's fine.
Lovely. Thanks, Milton. Thanks, Milton. Thank you for calling.
Thanks for the call. Thank you.
All right.
All right. So, math. 13 and 8.
Let me help you. Okay, while you're doing that, while you're adding 21. All of that up, just a reminder of our radiothon, which is taking place on Wednesday, the 12th of September. We're going to be dedicating the entire programming to the radiothon. We're going to be taking your calls, taking your pledges, and the important thing is to raise as much money as we possibly can for the Selwyn Segal. You know what a great job they do. You know how important they are in our community. We've had them on the radio, and it's time to put our money, or rather our money where our mouths are. So that's happening on Wednesday, the 12th of September. Okay, Bev, so we've got Milton. Have you worked out the numbers?
Yes, I
well
added
done,
them.
Done. Milton, I know we're going to get Bev for a birthday present.
Toes and feet.
A calculator.
Does it work quickly?
I don't know. Don't know about that.
You know, sometimes I try and add things up quickly on my iPhone. I have to say, you mistype, you can go demented. There's, you know, mistype, mistype.
I'd rather use the brain.
I've got Milton's birthday. Okay. Here we go. The 23rd of August, 1952. And generally, okay, Milton. So, generally, Milton is a philosopher and an idealist, and I know he knows what I mean. He thinks about everything, but he shares what he decides, and he doesn't like to be necessarily challenged in that regard. So he's a deep...
So closed. Would you say that he's closed?
I wouldn't say that he's closed, but I'd say he's more honest with the thoughts about things than he is about the feelings about himself.
Okay.
And often what I have realized is the biggest work for people is to get out of the head space into the heart space. And that's where the relationships are built. Relationships are not built in the head. Buildings are built in the head. Build a building with heart and you're likely to have it fall down. You build a building with a head, a good solid head about how exacting every angle has to be. There's a good chance it will survive it. And you can bring the heart into it in design, etc., where it fits with the head. Relationships don't work that way. Humanity is not built the same way. Sometimes we have to bring the head in afterwards where the heart's got involved.
Yeah.
But where we try and make everything work in a headspace first, it's often frustrating in the results it yields, either for ourselves or for the person or the people that we're involved with. So With Milton, he's very much in a headspace, and he's very much about what goes on and how things should be, and his idealism, and he has a beautiful appreciation for aesthetics and for culture in his own preference. So you couldn't necessarily come to him and say, don't you love this? Well, if he doesn't love it, no, then he won't. But he will show you something he loves and has a sensitivity towards and be magnificent. He's a nurturer. He loves to take care of people. He loves to reach out and to help and to be a significant player in the way in which people are helped with an appreciation. He's a deeply sensitive, wonderful, caring, nurturing person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so certain that he feels safe in the world to share that.
Mm.
Now, that's great because I could sit and chat and I can see numerically we'd get along famously as far as a conversation goes. There's a lot to talk about. There's a lot to discuss. And we would be able to have quite a far-reaching philosophical debate about things.
Mm.
That's fantastic. And I'm certain he can do that with many people. Are there one or two people in the world who truly know Milton? I don't know. That will remain to be seen who he's allowed in enough to get to know him at that level. But this is the gap, Milton. Generally, this is more specific. Until you let one or two people in who truly know you and accept you anyway, we don't feel completely received in the world.
Hmm.
It's not possible.
Hmm.
Because there's always that thought at the back of your head that goes, yes, but if they knew this, or yes, but they don't really know me, or I'm safe because they don't know me completely, or, and I'm not telling you and to go and bare your soul to everybody. I said, until there are that one or two people in the world who truly receive you as a human being, with everything, warts and all, as they put it, we don't have that full experience of being received.
Mm.
Now, I remember growing up and hearing people saying, if you have one or two real friends in your whole life, you have been blessed, right? Now, I remember thinking, what nonsense, I have like 20. Until you start doing the math on those friendships and realizing you don't really have 20. You don't really. As you go through life, there are those few places in your life where you are completely received. But it's not just everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And if it is just everywhere, well, you probably don't have enough time left for yourself or enough value or enough containment left for yourself. So what I'm saying to Milton is I'm not saying stretch yourself and pour out into every vessel, because he's a strong person and a sensitive one. And I think that when we can marry the two, the strong and the sensitive, then we can truly feel whole.
Hmm. Milton, that is a lot to work on.
Well,
that
I hope it had value.
I think that
there's one other thing I want to say about Milton, just looking here, is that Milton, as sensitive as he is and as much as he loves to bond and be contained and flow and etc., has a tendency to hold people at an arm's length and withdraw from them if they hurt him. Now, I know I got you there, Milton. That Rapunzel-ish thing that goes on for you, that I've withdrawn up a tower from which I can either attack you with, you know, like in a tower, it's a very safe position.
Mm-hmm.
The era of parallax is on your side. People can't really see into where you are. They certainly can't shoot at you because you just duck down and they don't have the angle. But, you know, you can take out a whole village from there. We've heard stories in wars about that, right? So I call it the Rapunzel theory, because when people tend towards withdrawing, they will either withdraw into a tower where they feel safe and they're untouchable and they'll attack from there, then you're defenseless, or they withdraw and they take away the key and you can't get up there. And you want to know the biggest thing I think about the Rapunzel theory?
Mm-hmm.
They want to be rescued.
Hmm.
They don't want to attack and they don't want to,
they want to let
stay
down their
there all by themselves. They want you to find the hidden staircase. They want someone to come to them. And I think Milton does a lot of withdrawing.
Mm. Sure, Milton.
People might not understand where he's withdrawn to, but he's trying to figure out how to cope with the disappointment or the hurt, etc. Remember one of my favorite lines? That's what I should call my next book, My Favorite Lines. each chapter can just be yet another one of them. Maybe that's what it should be. And one of my favorite lines is that sulking should be taken out of the dictionary. There's no word that should be less in the dictionary than sulking where I'm standing. Why? Because people don't sulk. That is a cruel terminology people use to try and manipulate people to behave better or more comfortable for them. But a person who is seen to be sulking is actually a person who is withdrawn into a space they are trying to survive some kind of hurt or disappointment they cannot make sense of and they can't articulate and they don't know how to get through it. That's what you're seeing as sulking. And what the person's experiencing on the other side is, how can I survive this? They were so painful. I don't understand this. Why did that happen? This is not making sense to me. I don't know how to cope. I will just sit here quietly trying. I'm trying so hard. And then what are these people here, children and adults alike? Oh, stop sulking. Seriously, you ruin every picnic. So if that's ever come out of your mouth, anybody who's listening, bite off that part of your tongue. It regrows, don't worry, and go and apologize. And stop saying it if you say that regularly. Oh, stop sulking. That is not what's happening. What you should be creating is a safe space for that other person to be able to say whatever it is that's so painful they feel like they won't survive if they articulate it, and say it anyway. And that's what I've said to my son. There's obviously something going on for you, sweetheart. There's something that's causing you pain. I will not be cross. I will not be sad. I will not say anything. If I can help you to work through it so that you can learn how to deal better with it in the future, that's what I'm here for. What is it? Say it. No judgment. That's what people need to hear. Whatever it is that's going on for you, without judgment, let it out. There will be no judgment. And then your role is to have no judgment. And if you want to cry about it, go cry in another room, so that they feel safe next time to open their mouth again. And if you want to scream about it, go scream in another place. But if you're going to give somebody a safe space to speak, give them the space.
Thank you, Bev. Wow, Milton. Okay, so lots to think about. We have Cabana on the line. Hi, Cabana.
Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, and how are you?
Very good, thanks, Cabana. Would you like to speak to Bev?
Yes, please.
Please go ahead.
Okay, so... We are starting a partnership, and I'm just wanting to know about our two birth dates.
Great, Cabana. What are they?
My partner, Shana, is the 1st of the 1st, 1957.
Okay.
And I'm the 10th of the 12th, 1954.
10th of December, 1954.
Yes.
And what's your concern?
We basically have, you know, just started up the business and just to see, you know, where the strengths are, where the things that we can work on.
You're already in business together?
Yes.
Nuts. No, I'm kidding.
Cabana, we're just going to take a break. Kidding. Will you listen on the radio?
Yes, I'd love
super.
To.
Super. Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Calling, Cabana.
Thank you.
Bev.
I'm kidding.
Okay, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
This is 101.9
Chai FM. Right, self-esteem engineer Bev Malun has Cabana's dates, Cabana and her partner to be. So what do you think, Bev? Do you think this is a partnership made in heaven? Does that actually exist?
Of course it exists. Okay. Of course it exists. But most of the time it's set up by ourselves, so it's made in heaven by us, really.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, that is pretty much how it puts Cabana and Shana together. The truth is, if you've started a business, it is worth having a consultation and sitting down, the two of you, and looking with me and looking at this properly and investing in your business relationship to truly understand how to avoid the pitfalls and challenges. That's up to you if you want to pursue it or not. But that is not something I can do in 1 minute when we still have Nonhlanhla to do, who has sent us an SMS. And Nonhlanhla, just hang in there. We're coming to you.
Because I know you've sent a couple
we're
of
coming.
Weeks in
We're
a row.
Coming. So we're going to do Nonhlanhla completely. So on one foot, in fact on one toe, Cabana, this is what I'm going to say to you. Your relationship needs boundaries. There's just no question. This is two people who connected, got to know each other, was quick, it was easy, it was too easy. And whenever things are too easy, there's work to be done. I've said this before, soulmate relationships are the safest place to do the hardest work on ourselves.
Mm.
Right, so they're fantastic, connected, I trust you, it's all wonderful, etc. Okay, Fantastic. Now, what's the work? So I love her question. What do we have to avoid? What do we need to look for? How can we make the most of this? That's why I would want to work with them and say to them, like, this is what you need to do in this, and to make sure you stay out of the drama, because there's certainly a capacity and a tendency to be in drama. So there's sensitivities, but there's need to remain sensitive. There's a closeness connected to nurturing, but there's a tendency to be hurtful and separated from sensitivity when disappointed and frustrated. And there's a critical analytical team here that is brilliant in forensics and assessing things and nurturing and caring, compassionate and generous. So whatever they're going to do, they want to give a lot of it away. Then I can tell you, you're going to need to set boundaries around that, because you need to be taking care of both of you. There's a perfectionist need there. There's a very structure. I mean, this is a good business partnership in many ways. Mm-hmm. And the tendencies towards drama on one foot is where you are going to need to work. And you can avoid those with setting very clear targets, very clear defined boundaries, and very structured business perspectives that stay in business, and relational perspectives that stay in relation. And they should be kept separate, because there's emotional triggers in this connection that could get them off track. So that should make enough sense for starters. So maybe think about it, talk about it amongst yourselves.
Want to take it further. Speak
you want to take
Beth.
It further, let's do it.
Well, there we have it. Right now, Nonhlanhla has sent through SMSs a few, this is, I think, the second or third time.
Let's do it.
So she says, my name is Nonhlanhla Vilakazi. I would like to know about my career and relationship. My birth date is the 12th of June, 1977. 12th of June, 1977. I just happened to remember it because I remember Nonhlanhla's name.
Oh, Nonhlanhla, the superpower.
Okay.
Yeah, we love that. Now, that's why she's just kept doing it.
She's persevered.
Oh, yeah, she'll persevere. So, Nonhlanhla, this is what I'm going to say to you on one foot. You can achieve anything you set your mind to. I'm going to say this again. This is not true of everybody. It's not. It just isn't. But for Nonhlanhla, whatever you believe in your heart, you should be doing, or you are capable of doing, in some way, shape or form, you will be able to create the steps it takes to climb up to that platform to walk on it. Do you understand that? Now, that could take 25 years. That could take 50 years. But whatever it is in your biggest dream you believe you're supposed to be doing in the world, there are steps to take to get you there. In the short term, you can choose any path or any direction. You're going to naturally be good at it. You're going to naturally be able to succeed in it. She's a natural leader. She's a naturally creative person. She has a capability to take the leads and run with it. She has a very nurturing, generous, spirited, giving nature about her. On one foot, because we're ending,
the shortfall.
Manage yourself, my dear. Manage your emotional responses. She is all ambition, power, fire, nurturing. You could get warmed near her. You could get burnt by her. Don't cross her until she's worked on herself to the point where she won't rip you to shreds when that happens, right? So there is an exactness about how she wants things, and there's a flexibility to compromise herself where she trusts people too quickly. So there's a lot there, Nonhlanhla. There's so much. But on one tiny little toe, very quickly, I'm going to encourage you to look at your emotional responses to disappointment and your need for validation. Don't be too certain that you need other people to approve of your choices when you're making them. Don't be too certain that you need the validation of other people and their approval about decisions you're taking before you're making them, provided you do no harm intentionally, you break no laws on purpose. You need to learn to live independent of the validation and scrutiny of others, and you will find your way and you will find your greatness step by step. I hope that has value.
I'm so glad we had time. Wow, Nonhlanhla. Go forth and conquer, my dear. Thank you, Bev, Ms. Malun, as always. And for those of you who sent through the SMSs and we weren't able to look at your birth dates, please don't worry. Bev will be back in the studio same time next Friday. Just go get those SMSs in as early as possible. Bev, have a great Shabbos. Have a wonderful weekend and a kiss.
Thank you so much.